disciples who were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for this opportunity to be here, and pray that today would be a blessing to all, an encouragement to us, and Father, once again, just be a glory and honor to your name, for we just delight in the things that you are doing. And Father, what a joy it is to see the world that we're living in today, and to see how you're changing hearts, you're helping people to grow, and how you are bringing the body together. We just commit our study of the Word of God, pray these things in Christ's name, amen. I did not forget Junior Church. Junior Church is not going to be functioning this morning. They'll be in here. However, there will be people in the nursery and so forth and in the other classes that will need to be picked up today. We've entitled this morning's message, which is a very abbreviated message, "Programs are devoted to facilitate what God is building." Normally, we would be in the Gospel according to Luke, and by God's grace, we'll pick it up again next week. But today is a special day, and it's our ministry fair day. And let me mention a couple of things beyond what Pastor Chris said. Whether or not you're involved in anything or not, you should all be in there. Why? Everybody should take the opportunity before you go today to get into that room. By the way, I've already been in there. It is absolutely a joy to see the passion that people have for their ministry and what God is doing. And you should be in there to support that, even if you're very actively involved. And if you're not actively involved, all the more. Even if you're visiting today, it'd be a good idea to go in there just to see what God is doing. It is exciting. So I encourage all of you. There should be no one that just, unless it's an emergency, has to get out and go home quickly. We'll be stopping early, and it'll be an opportunity for these ministries to show you what God is doing. Why? The objective this morning is to see where we all fit in, to see where we all fit in. And let me give you a couple of comments this morning. Is this all about programs? Here you have a ministry fair day, and it's going to be displaying certain programs. Is that what it is all about? Is it about programs? I will say this. Generally, churches and organizations, including Fellowship Bible Church, we have done this as well. Churches generally, in my opinion, develop programs or start programs, if we're honest about it, and then we expect God to bless. We put in a program and then, well, let's see what the Lord does, and we expect God to bless it. I don't think that that's the biblical approach, personally. Ministries or programs, and if you talk about programs, it's ministries. In my personal opinion, ministries should be about responding to the needs of the body. Whatever ministry is going on should be the result of responding to the needs of the body because of what God is doing. I don't think it should just be a program to start and see, let's see what happens. Any ministry, any program that gets going should be a result of the needs of the body because of what God is doing and how God is blessing in the ministry. What is God doing? Well, God is building his church, first of all. It's his church. It's his body. We find that very clearly in Matthew 16. Christ said, "I will build my church," and that's what he's doing. Until he comes back, he will continue to build his church and to call people in it. He is also, as we have seen in our study of 1 Peter, he is refining the church. Everyone in this room that belongs to Jesus Christ is in the process of the refinery. God is working with us and through us and in us to refine us to be the people that we should be for his honor and glory. So he doesn't just call us into the church and then say, see you in heaven. He's refining us in our lives, and we see that through the trials that we all face. He is also perfecting that which he begins, according to Philippians. That which God has started by changing and transforming a life from death unto life, a life that's now part of the body of Christ, he is now working in that body to perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. How does he do that? How does he continue to work that way and build his church? Well, obviously, he does it by the preaching of the word. We know that from Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. And so what we understand is we need the word of God, and that is so lacking in churches today, but we need it. We need it in our lives because that is how God brings a person to salvation. If you are here today and you're not saved, what is going to bring you to salvation isn't Pastor Dan, isn't any program, isn't any ministry per se. It is as you hear the word of God and get convicted by the Spirit of God and he changes your heart. So that's how he does it. He also does it by the body coming together, and we need to understand that. Now, because this is a condensed message, I don't have the time to turn to it all. But in Acts chapter 2, for example, you will see that after 3,000 got saved on one occasion, what did they do? Everybody went their own way. Just the opposite. They all came together, and they started to get involved in the doctrine of the apostles, and they came together to observe the ordinances, and they came together to study the word of God, and they came together to minister to one another's needs because of what God was doing. And they saw immediately, I am now part of a family, and I am now part of a body that needs to function properly, and for that to happen, I've got to be there. And I've got to be exercising what God has given me to do. That is also found in Hebrews chapter 10. In attempting to do this, there are some dangers. So we talk about the fact that God changes lives. We come together. We're in the body of Christ. We're supposedly come together and be a part of observing the ordinances such as communion and baptism, which we have done just recently. And then also to minister to one another's needs. There are some dangers. And let me give you the two extremes very quickly. One is the concept today that is around of weekly worship with no structure. That's one extreme. And what is that? It is the idea, look, at all we need to do is get together once a week and just let the Spirit of God just control everything. We don't need any structure. We don't need anything. We don't need any offices. We don't need a building. We don't need anything like this. After all, they had 3,000 souls, and they came together, and they managed. There are some problems with that, just to point out. There's no accountability. That is a great system for somebody who is basically saying, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. I just want to do my own thing. And there's no accountability. Worship is seen as a religious duty that way. I just come together once a week. That's what most of us came out of. There is total individual independence. Independence by the individual. I just do my thing and don't worry about it. I got my ticket. It's in my back pocket. I'm going to heaven. It becomes self-rule, self-authority. And the problem is there's no body growth and there's no source of encouragement for you until you get into a situation and you find out how much you need the body. And that's what can happen. That's one extreme. The other extreme is the mentality, I call it the Fortune 500 mentality. And that's the other extreme. And what is that? It is the high-powered business plan and numbers-oriented ministry. They will do anything to just grow the ministry, so they're all concerned about numbers. How many people have we got coming? How many people have we got going? Let's get 2 services, 3 services, 4 services, 5 services. And it's just, let's get all over the internet and let's just spread this everywhere. And the idea is whatever it takes. And it becomes an entertaining promotional ministry. The concern is about having a good time. The concern is about having things that are acceptable to the lost. We want to make an atmosphere where they're comfortable. I got news for you. The scriptures are just the opposite. When they come into a church that's truly doing what God said, they should be uncomfortable. They shouldn't be. If you're interested in making them comfortable, the direction's in the wrong way. Okay, it's non-confrontational. We don't speak at the church, and by the way, that's not true here, but we don't speak in our church about anything that's controversial because we don't want to stir up any problems. That's the other extreme. And you just make everybody happy. What is the balance? The balance of that is salvation, listen, and we're studying this in small groups, salvation is a life. It's not about coming to church on Sunday morning for religious obligation. It's not about just making myself happy. It's about being transformed because the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us from darkness to light, from death unto life, has given us a new life in Christ. We're a new creation. We're part of a new body, part of a new family, and it is our life. If Christianity is not your life and you're making a profession of faith, reality is you may not be a believer. And you've been fooling yourself for a long time. Because it's a life. It's a life. We are not independent. We are interdependent. Every single member of the body of Christ is dependent upon the other members of the body. God designed structure. Limited, yes, but structure. He's the one that designed to have offices. He's the one that designed the church to have apostles and then prophets and so forth. He is also the one who realizes that there's got to be priorities in the body of Christ, as you're going to see from our text. For the body to function properly, every single member must be doing what they have been called to do. Just like the physical body. Isn't that interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I have a physical body. And we look at all of these things. I had an interesting situation that came up recently, by the way, to share with you. It was a situation that happened this year in soccer. It was a college-level game. And what happened was in this game, I learned from the coach, there was a person that came on the field, and I noticed as an official, they're missing a foot. And I could see that. Now you say, how did you notice that? Well, it was obvious by the way that they were walking or whatever. And here's the interesting story. The coach, when that person came out for the team, the coach said to me, the person came out for the team, and I said to the person, you know, you got a problem. You got no left foot. Now, they didn't know what they were saying yet. And you got to be stop being selfish. If you're going to be a soccer player at this level, you've got to use both feet. You have to use that left foot, and you have to use the right foot. And the person said, but you don't understand. I don't have a left foot. And the coach said, I can see that. You're not using it properly. No. I don't have a left foot. And the reason I'm bringing that up, and by the way, it's a very good, successful story for that person. But the coach didn't know. But that person could not use something because they didn't have it. Just like in our body, okay? We need everything to be functioning properly. Okay, and that person couldn't use something because they didn't have it. God has designed his body for everything to function properly because he has placed everybody in the body just where they need to be. And not everybody's in the same spot. And if a part of the body is not functioning properly, it affects the rest of the body. It affects the rest of the body. No one that is truly born again is to be idle. No one is to be idle. So I have some questions. Where do each of us fit in to the body of Christ? A couple of questions. How am I? This is something for all of us to be asking this morning. How am I ministering to the body of Christ? How am I helping to build the body up? Or am I causing the building to become weak because I am not doing what I should be doing? If you are not building the body, you are weakening the body. because it's not able to function right. Where can I be involved? Are there things that God is doing that we are even not paying attention to because some of us are not functioning? Let's take a moment, a very quick moment, to look at our text. In Acts chapter 6, you notice something. God was working. Just for a moment, and I'm going to do this very quick, but let me refer back to Acts chapter 2 for this reason. In Acts chapter 2, it said this. This was after they had come to salvation. We find in verse 41, so then those who had received the word were baptized, and there were added 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves. God had worked. 3,000 souls got saved. People were being baptized, and the people were continuously devoting themselves to the things of God. And then in verse 46, it says, day to day, continually, with one mind in the temple, they were breaking bread. They didn't just say, I'll go to church on Saturday. I'll go to church on Sunday. No, they were involved in a life. And they went from house to house and taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, watching this, praising God and having favor with all people. Why was this happening? And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those that were being saved. And chapter 4 says the same thing. God was doing a marvelous work by the time we come to chapter 6. But when you come to chapter 6, verse 1, you see a problem came up. What was the problem? In verse 1, there were people being neglected in the daily serving of food. How did that come about? It came about because God was blessing and things were growing and things were happening. And yet there was the potential here for one of two things. This situation could have divided the church. You could have had your critics in the background sitting back and saying, you see what's going on? They're not even getting to serving them. They're not paying attention. No one's following up. The elders aren't shepherding. They aren't doing this. The apostles don't know what they're supposed to be doing. You could have had that and it would have divided the church. Or you could have had what happened. It came and the church got together and said, hey, we got a problem. We get a problem. God's blessing abundantly and someone's being neglected. And hey, how can we solve this? And you notice the apostles, it came to their attention and they didn't solve it all. It went right back to the people. There were some guidelines given, but it went back to the people. And that which could have been a very big dividing problem in the church became something of growth for the church because they got involved. And I want you to notice that they recognized priorities, didn't they? In verse 2, it says, it's not right, basically, for us to neglect the word of God and to serve tables. Now, again, it would have been very easy to say, what's the matter? Is that below you? You're an apostle. You can't serve tables? You can't help out in that way? No, not at all. Of course they could. But did you realize if they did that, it would have been to neglect? This is why, by the way, a pastor shouldn't be doing everything in the church. God's designed the body for that. And they recognize it. It's not that it was beneath them, but God has given structure to the church. And it says that. I didn't get there in 1 Corinthians. And everyone is to be involved. They were concerned, and they weren't concerned with just having a program. This came as a result, this ministering to them, and it developed so that they got these seven men to lead it because God was blessing. And the church got involved and became a part of it. Others were involved. You find that in verse 3. You find that in verse 5, where the whole congregation was excited. They got excited about this, and they got involved. What was the result? Just to get right to the point, because time's getting away from me. Verse 7. The word of God kept spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And great many priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Even the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. What was happening? Because people got involved, because they solved the problem, didn't just throw a program and expect God to bless. They saw what God was doing. There was a need. They ministered to it, and the whole congregation, and God kept blessing. You want to see God bless Fellowship Bible Church? You want to see God bless your life? Be a part of what God is doing. Get involved in what God is doing wherever God has gifted you. And it's very possible that there's some things. What is the application? I'll summarize it with this. I will have you out here 20 past. I will summarize it with this. All need to be involved. Christianity is a life. It's not a religion, folks. It's not just Sunday morning only. There is need for some structure. There has to be for something to function, even in the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're the body. He's given deacons. He's given elders. And he prioritizes things even with the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Programs should arise out of what God is doing, not just for the sake of having a program. And we all need to be a part of what God's doing. Here at Fellowship, there are many ministries that need help. Many. Now, I'm not going to name them all, but when you go in there, you're going to see what God is doing. He's doing a tremendous amount of things in this body, local body. And it's exciting to see the zeal and the joy that's on the leaders behind those ministries. But they need help. We need help with ushers. We need help in the nursery. We need help in junior church. We need help with the youth in junior high. We need help in the grounds. We need help in the music. We need help in all different areas of this ministry. And there are many involved, but there are some who just are not. You're not functioning. There are other areas that we haven't got to. I just thought about this and mentioned it in passing to you as a pastor, as I've prayed about it. Even since this text, how about the widows in this church? Are we really ministering to the widows the way we should be? Do you know that this church is made up of a lot of single women and a lot of single men? I'm talking about adults. We still have something going for that. We don't have anything going for that right now. Now, does that mean today, Pastor Dan said, there it is, let's go start a program. No, my point is, we should be looking and sensitive to the body. And what are the needs? And what is God doing? And how can I be involved? There may be some other areas that you could be used that we don't have going because we don't have someone to meet that particular need. God has designed the body that way. Such as what? Shut-ins. Some comments came up at the annual church meeting about that. Is there a better way we can be ministering to the shut-ins? Maybe you could be a part of that. So I close with a couple of final questions, and then I'll get you out of here. Let's ask some questions of ourselves. Am I just playing church? Just coming on Sunday? And be honest. How am I ministering to the body? God didn't put me in the body to have a good time for myself. He put me in the body to minister to the body. And if I'm not ministering to the body, I'm not doing what God wants. Am I using the gifts that God has given me? Or am I like the person that has the talent, and because I only had one, I buried it in the ground, and then when I face the Lord, I'm going to say, I didn't do anything with it. I didn't do anything with it. It's not how many talents, it's what you're doing. How can I better be a part of what God is doing at Fellowship Bible Church? God is doing some wonderful things. It is a blessing to see over 50 years how God has blessed this church. How many people have gotten saved? How many people have served the Lord? And what is going on? Where do you fit in? Where do I fit in? Move out of the room here and move into service by going to find out. In the room behind us will be all the ministries that are going on at Fellowship right now. Go through and spend the time. And by the way, the seniors are serving food too. And it won't interfere with your dinner because it's simple foods that you can get and enjoy. Let's go out of here and go in to the mission field by finding out where I can be fitting in and serving the body so we can get the gospel out to the community. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for all that are working so hard in this ministry here. I thank you for the things that you are doing. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be facilitating every single believer, to be facilitating the things that you are doing. For those who really don't know where they fit in or how they can serve, help them to be excited to see as they go into the room. Others who are serving, help them to be excited and to be an encouragement to the leaders that are in there. And Father, we pray that the body right here at Fellowship would function in a way that's pleasing in your sight, would be an honor to your name, and will continue to bring glory until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.